6 days before the Passover. Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. And Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me."
What is the scent of your life? Smell is one of the most powerful gifts God has given to us. And scientists tell us as we age, it is the sense that stays with us the longest. The sense of smell has incredible power in our lives because just a whiff of a certain smell can transport you immediately to another time and another place. It can evoke a memory of a person, of a moment, of an experience in your life, almost like nothing else can. It's powerful. Sometimes when I go to the grocery store, I like to hang out in the deli section where the little roasted chickens are on the spit. Because one of the most powerful memories I have is the smell of turkey roasting at Thanksgiving time. I love the smell of a roasting turkey because it reminds me of such happy times with my family. I can bring that smell to mind right now. On Sunday mornings, I set my coffee pot for 3:30 because I get up at about 3:45 on Sunday mornings to get ready. And I have one of the nifty coffee pots that I pour the beans in the top and it sets the timer. And between 3:30 and 3:45 when I get up, the wafting smell of freshly ground coffee beans makes it from my kitchen all the way down the hallway to my bedroom, and it just makes me want to get up. When I arrive here at Conyers First on Sunday morning, it's usually between 6 and 6:15, and I park over at the Rockdale County School Administration Building, and I get out of my car, and on most Sundays, I can smell the bacon frying in the Conyers First kitchen, and it gives an extra drive to my step. I want to get to the fellowship hall for crispy bacon. Smell evokes powerful imagery in our lives. I wonder, what is your scent? Since I was in college, my signature scent has been original Ralph Lauren Polo. You know, the little green bottle with the iconic Polo man on the front of it, a little here, a little there. My mother's iconic scent is the same scent that my grandmother wore, the scent of joy. Do you know how expensive that stuff is, by the way? Just the tiniest bit here and here can take me back to my grandmother's house in Dallas. As a little boy in the afternoon on a hot Texas day, I'd go up to her great big bed and I'd lie down and my grandmother would climb on top of the bed with me and rub my back. She called it tickling my back, and I could take a nap. When I smell joy, I think of my grandmother, and I want to take a nap. My brother Chris, you know, the high-up executive at SunTrust downtown, has rather refined taste, and his scent is Curzon. It's made by Trumpers on Curzon Street in the Mayfair in London. They have the royal warrant. They are the parfumers to the men of the royal family. And his bottle of cologne comes with the tiniest little crown on the top of it that he unscrews before he splashes himself and heads down to SunTrust downtown. Now, my dad's different. My dad's real different. My dad's signature scent is gasoline and motor oil. When my dad is at his best, he smells like a lawnmower, and he loves that smell. I've had members across the years that smell like mothballs. I've had members across the years that smell like old polyester that needs to go to the cleaners. I've got one dear friend, I can only describe her as loud. She dyes her hair an auburn red. She puts on just about as much makeup as she can, and bless her heart, you know that Southern for I'm fixing to say something ugly. Bless her heart, she just smells like the red light district. I wonder, what is your fragrance? What is your scent? In our text for the morning presented on the video from John chapter 12, there's an important moment in the life of Jesus when one of his faithful followers named Mary, not Mary the mother of Jesus, but another Mary who has a sister named Martha, offers Jesus a tremendous gift, a gift of fragrance that the Bible says completely fills the house. Up and down, right and left, from the front to the back. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse 3 that his particular fragrance is nard, N-A-R-D. Sounds a little too much like nerd to me, but nard, if you're reading from a King James or New King James, you may say spikenard. It was thought to be a very tender flowering plant found in the Himalayan region of India, China, and it was from a long way away and was a very delicate aroma. It is said to have a very earthy, leathery kind of smell to it. Maybe that's first century old spice. And it was frequently used to anoint the body of a well-to-do person upon his death. Now, the Bible says that Mary had possession of a pound or a pint, and you know, units of measure change across time. We think it was probably 12 or 14 ounces. I mean, it was the jumbo size, made even more valuable by the fact that probably it was held in an alabaster jar. Alabaster is sort of a translucent kind of a material that made it all the more valuable, and the Bible tells us that it was worth about 300 denarii. Now, if we understand the monetary exchange at the time, the average person living in the Holy Land made 1 denarii a day. Therefore, 300 denarii was basically an entire year's wages. Okay, time out. Do a little calculation. Think about you at the height of your earning potential. What's an entire year wages for you? Are you getting the sense of how much that was worth? And Mary does something incredible with this expensive fragrance. She doesn't just open it and a little dab will do you, but the text indicates that she broke the container and used the entire content of this fragrance to anoint the feet of Jesus. It may have been more than that, because to eat in the Bible days, you reclined at a table that was probably 12 to 18 inches off the floor, and you laid head to foot, all the way around. Anointing was oftentimes done with the hair, because it's like, you know, you put on your cologne today. And oftentimes, especially at dinners, it was done on the feet. Why? Because to recline at the table meant you were right next to somebody's feet. It was considered to be the task of the lowest and most menial of servants to wash one's feet. Here, Mary is using this most expensive ointment to anoint the feet of Jesus. And I love the imagery of the fragrance that fills the house. I want to speak to you today about fragrance. Not so much the physical fragrance of polo or joy, but the fragrance of your life. For just as there are certain fragrances that really bring us to life, there are other fragrances that are killers. I have a friend. He's a good friend. And he obviously likes cats a lot. In fact, I think he must live in a cage of cats because his fragrance smells like a cat. When I was just a little bitty baby preacher down in my first little church in Fayette County, I'd never had my own house before. I'd never done housekeeping. I didn't know about all that. I had a good mama and, you know, made sure all that was taken care of. But I was grilling out some chicken on the back porch one day. And you know how chicken comes in the store. You got that sort of yellow looking piece of styrofoam. And between the styrofoam and the chicken are chicken Pampers. You know what chicken Pampers are. They're supposed to collect the chicken juice, right? Well, I was cooking, and of course I threw it all in the trash can and had to go out of town for a week, and it's in the middle of the hot summer, and I wrapped all the packaging up with chicken Pampers and put it in the trash can, and a week later I came home and I raised up the garage door, and there was a scent, a fragrance that greeted me, the fragrance of chicken Pampers. If you have never smelled chicken, the fragrance of chicken Pampers, it'll do something to you. I want to speak of fragrances and the way the fragrance of our lives, the scent of our lives, has an effect on others. The scent of Mary's life was that of sacrifice and service and extravagant love. The scent of Mary's life was making an investment, a wild investment in Jesus' life, for love of Jesus, without counting the cost of that investment, without counting the cost of that sacrifice, doing it out of love. And I think John is speaking not only literally, but making us want to sense the power of that kind of sacrifice, that gift filled every corner of the house. But I want you to notice in this text this morning that Mary's scent was not the only scent present in this house in Bethany 2,000 years ago. John 12, verse 3 says that she anointed Jesus' feet with oil and the fragrance filled the house. But there was another fragrance present in verse 5, and it was the fragrance of Judas. You know, the bad boy of the 12 who would, in just a few days, betray Jesus in the garden. As Mary is making this gift, in the silent beauty of this moment of reverence and worship, Judas speaks up and says, "Wait a minute." Well, he doesn't literally say that, but that's the import, because the conjunction that is used there in the Greek text is a very strong conjunction. It literally means, "But, hold on." He said, "Mary, what are you doing? How dare you waste this valuable essence worth a whole year's wages? If you had any compassion, you would sell it and spend it on the poor. A noble thought, a noble idea. But St. John reveals the fragrance of Judas' life when he says, Judas didn't care about the poor. Judas was the treasurer of the ministry. He had the purse. And he was pilfering. Do you know what that old-fashioned word pilfer means? He was skimming off the top. What he was saying was, Mary, you should have sold it for 300 denarii because some of that would have made its way into my pocket. The fragrance of Judas' life was that of selfishness. The fragrance of Judas' life was of scarcity. The fragrance of Judas' life was self-centeredness. Among the incredibly powerful thoughts found in this encounter between Mary and Jesus, with Lazarus and Martha and Judas and the crowd that had come in to see Lazarus who had been raised from the dead, we are left with this thought. Which fragrance will endure? Will it be the fragrance of sacrifice and praise and extravagant love, or will it be the fragrance of criticism and selfishness? I told you last week and other weeks that I'm simply taken by the new miniseries, Downton Abbey. Do we have any Downton Abbey watchers here? I bought all three seasons on DVD. When I grow up, I think I want to be Carson, the butler. I'm back and forth to Britain so often because of my work with the World Methodist Council and the Epworth Old Rectory that I've picked up some of the unique British phrases that they use. And one of my very favorite British phrases that's used on Downton Abbey that one of my other favorite British characters, Mrs. Slocum on Are You Being Served, uses is a term for annoying someone else. And the term British people often use for annoying someone else is this: you get up my nose. Is that descriptive enough for you? Can you feel that, right? Can you feel that? You get up my nose. Now, I want to use the fragrance theme here. When you are with someone, what fragrance gets up their nose? When I learned from the bishop that I was going to have the great opportunity to serve this magnificent church in the summer of 2007, I was faced with a bit of a crisis. I had to sell my house in Decatur and find a house in Old Town. And you remember 2007 was the year of the great housing crash. Now, I was really blessed that the housing values in the city of Decatur had remained strong, and I was able to sell my house in pretty short order, but I didn't have a house to move to in Conyers. So, at 43 years old, I moved in with my mommy and daddy. After I moved out, my mom, whom I love with all of my heart, said to me, for weeks, the bathroom you used and the bedroom you used smelled like you. I could just go up to the room and breathe in and I could smell you. There's a great spiritual truth in that, and it is this. Fragrance lingers longer than your physical presence. And I would like to suggest that the fragrance of our lives are the words and the actions that we share with others. Our words and our actions, the fragrance of our lives, lingers longer than the word spoken or the deed done or the moment that it is done. Like a pebble in a pond, they linger through rippling effects throughout time. What is your scent? Maybe the more important question is, do you know that you have a scent? What is the fragrance of your life that lingers in the nose, if you will, of those you relate to most? Have you thought about that? I believe words and actions matter to God. I believe the impact our lives have on other lives matters to God. So I want to ask you, challenge you with this idea today. How do you smell? Well, here's the challenge. Maybe you're like my friend that's the cat aficionado. I do not think my friend knows that he smells like cat urine because he's surrounded by it so much that he's oblivious to it. So I'm convinced that we really don't know what our fragrance is because we're living in that fragrance. So here's the challenge for you. Ask two or three people that you trust most and love most and ask the honest question, honey, how do I smell? What is the fragrance of my life? What is the scent that lingers longer in the house of your heart, in the house of your soul, in the house of your spirit? The house I did buy in Conyers was purchased from a lady who could have been the Marlboro man's wife. I'm told by those who knew her that she smoked around the clock. No joke. After I bought the house, which I had to redo, I hired a man. He knocked on the door. He said, I'm here to suck duck. And his job was to suck out and sanitize the duck work in my house. And he said, I have sucked duck a long time, and yours is about the worst. Thank you that I've ever... He said, come look at this stuff coming out of your duck work. Do you know the bacteria and germs that are living in here? He sucked my duck. And my house smells great most of the time. But if it's a rainy, humid day, really rainy, really humid, it's been rainy and humid for a few days, I can walk into my living room and I can live again the fragrance of years upon years upon years of smoking. Here's the challenge. I want the fragrance of Mary in my life. I desperately want the fragrance of extravagant love. I don't want to be constrained by counting the cost of the time and encouragement I pour into other people. The time to listen and to care, to walk with those that I love most and love best. But guess what? There are days when the fragrance of Judas comes out of me. When the fragrance of the old ways comes out of me. And I'll tell you when it happens. When I have thought myself so overwhelmed with busyness, which is a tremendous temptation for me. I can't even keep my own calendar anymore. Renee Farah has to keep it for me because it is so minutely timed. It's electronically kept. When I have allowed myself to be so incredibly overscheduled and I have not spent time in the presence of the one whose fragrance changes everything, the risen Lord, the fragrance of the old life comes out and I can be short and critical and unkind. The fragrance of Judas comes out of me. Do you know what I'm talking about? But I long so desperately for the fragrance that Mary poured onto Jesus and filled the whole house. Because we really don't know our fragrance, would you ask someone you love what your fragrance is? And then if, frankly, the response that you get is not what you would like, I'd like to share this word of hope. There's a concept in the Old Testament that is one of my favorite concepts, and it's the reference to the oil of joy, the anointment of gladness, depending on the translation that you are using. And it's one of my favorite references in the Old Testament. It was reading years ago the sermons of old C.H. Spurgeon, the great London Baptist preacher, that taught me that ancient communicators thought of the oil of gladness, the anointment of gladness, as the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Poured out from Christ, drenching you, if you will, like oil poured over the head into every pore and fiber of your being. I think Jesus understands this concept because in his very first sermon, he quotes the text from Isaiah chapter 61. If you have your Bibles with you, would you quickly turn with me to the text of Jesus' very first sermon, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 61, and I want you to catch these important words. Jesus reads this text and then sits down to preach and says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed," get that, "anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair." Maybe you've allowed the fragrance of your life to spoil because of despair, because of mourning, because of grief, because of undealt with anger. We could expand that to disappointment or frustration or whatever it is that has come upon you. The Bible says the Lord God through Christ understands, and He wants to exchange all of that for the ointment, the oil, the fragrance of joy. And old C.H. Spurgeon said, that's the Holy Spirit. If after your experience of sniffing and it comes back that you're not smelling too good these days, there's hope because of Christ. Ask Him through faith to exchange whatever is causing you to smell like chicken Pampers and anoint you with the oil of joy. What is your scent? What is your fragrance? As others experience you, is it a gracious gift or an offensive odor? A gracious gift or an offensive odor? That's something to pray about. Amen. we conclude our service this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the back of the connection card. And I'd really like for you to mark John 12, verse 3 in your Bibles, and especially that reference, "And the fragrance filled the whole house." I want you to understand that your life is the fragrance filling the house of others, their soul, their spirit, their heart. And let your fragrance be good. At the bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me, how I delight to pray with and for you on my prayer and study day, which is Tuesday. How honored I would be to share with you how you could receive Christ personally as Savior and Lord, become a member of this great church, be baptized into the family of faith, receive the anointing oil at the chancel rail. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your connection card, fold it over, and then leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.